It's just good to be with you all this morning, isn't it? I mentioned last week that today's going to be a little bit of a different service. Today's going to be a little more focused on prayer and a little practice, a little resting, a little receiving from Jesus himself is my prayer for us. And so I'm going to pray up front, and then we're going to kind of lean in a little bit today into the quiet, into some of the text here. To say, Jesus, we're listening. We're listening for your voice because we want to be sent people, but we want to be sent by him, don't we? Amen. We don't want to send ourselves. And heaven forbid if I send us. We want to be sent by Jesus. So would you just join me in prayer for a moment? Father, we quiet our hearts this morning. We ask you to help us with that. That, Lord, we're in a posture, a place where we're willing to listen and receive first. So Lord, help us unhurry our minds. Help us to push away the distractions. Help us to leave the anxieties of the world at the door. Lord, if any one of us is just carrying these heavy burdens, I pray you reach down and pull it off our shoulders today. And I pray you give us something that only you can, whether it be an encouragement, a word from your scriptures, or a word from your mouth today, that we truly hear from you. So Lord, we're here. Your servants are listening. Your sons and daughters are listening to their Father. And we look forward to you speaking to us today and the days ahead. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you could, you can take a seat. And this whole morning, actually, this is a posture for us, is just sitting. And I pray there's this sense of rest and not an ounce of striving, not an ounce of effort, but an open-handedness towards surrender. Right? We're gonna work through quieting our own hearts, our own minds, our souls, and we're gonna get our place to a point where we're doing less talking and more listening, right? There's that old adage, God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. So let us live in that proportionality. But then also a place where God himself leads us to go from here, where his spirit actually speaks to our hearts and collectively to us to be a sent people. And when we look at the book of Acts, we see all this incredible work done by the apostles. We look at all this incredible movement of God's church through an entire region. It's inspiring for us, and I think we make a mistake to try to use it as a playbook. I believe what Acts truly is for us is the acts of the Holy Spirit through people that are surrendered to him. Right? It's very descriptive, but not prescriptive. But there's this moment that we see in Acts chapter, the end of 12 and into 13, where these apostles, these mighty men of God, their choice is to come together in worship and fasting, to pray and fast into the direction of what God is doing in their lives. And Pastor John Tyson says, to me, the book of Acts is just a series of prayer gatherings and what God chooses to do in between them. And so I pray we look at the book of Acts in that lens to say, Lord, what would you speak to us in this prayer gathering that you might do something incredible on the other side of it? Our responsibility is to listen. We're inviting him to speak and send us. And so in Acts chapter 12, the end of Acts chapter 12 and into 13, this is what Luke writes in the book of Acts. When Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. And we think, oh, this wouldn't happen today. this couldn't happen in our midst. This wouldn't happen in my life, that the Spirit of God would actually speak to my heart and bring a conviction, bring a direction to say, just go. It happens. It's happened in my life. We're going to hear a story today of happening in Matt's life. It's happened in so many of our lives. And yet, do we come with expectancy this morning for him to speak? You know, today, the whole framework of today is much like a greeting card. And I'll speak to the men in the room that are married or have a loved one in their life. We rarely ever buy a greeting card ahead of time, right? If you're like me, it's Valentine's Day, and at 4 p.m., you're getting out of work early to grab one of the last greeting cards at Hannaford. And it's been my experience that all of the good ones are taken by then. So I grab a, this actually happened to me, which is embarrassing. I grabbed a card after me and two other men were staring at the last card left. And I said, are you guys gonna take it? And they said, it's purple, blue, and green. It's not even, I said, I'm not ashamed. And I took the card, right? Today, well, I'll ask the question. If you grab a greeting card and you simply put it in the envelope and hand it to your loved one and you never write anything in it, how personal is that? Today, our invitation to you is to personalize what we're gonna be bringing before you as a team, right? That this whole service is like that greeting card that already has some things written, already has some direction for it, but it's up to us individually, each one of us, to personalize this moment with the Lord, to bring our heart's desires, to bring the things that are maybe weighing us down, to ask the questions that he would reveal those answers to us in this space, that if we were to sit and simply just exist during this time and never personalize it, well, my invitation is to make it personal, right? And so as we pray together, as we seek his direction, the first thing that I'll say is we need to get quiet. And our culture's not used to quiet, right? Our culture's used to busyness and hurry and anxiety and agendas and to-do lists and tasks, and we need to make it to the right places and we need to connect with the right people. And quite frankly, I think we need to slow down. Dallas Willard says that the greatest enemy to spiritual growth is hurry. He goes on to say, so if you want to grow spiritually, you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. And so this morning, we're going to start there. We're going to start by getting quiet. We're going to envision what it's like for Jesus as our shepherd in Psalm 23 to lead us to those green pastures, to lead us beside still waters, to restore our soul a little bit. And so we're going to, even in this moment, get quiet. We're going to allow a minute or two to pass of complete silence as we try to unhurry our minds, unhurry our hearts, and sit for a moment in the quiet. So if you would, with me, just bow your head, close your eyes, and we're going to let it get quiet in here for a moment. Sometimes the quiet is louder than the noise, isn't it? sometimes there's this anxiety that rises to the top. There's the things we feel like we need to do or be, and I believe it's in those spaces that the Lord wants to do the work so we can refresh our souls. And so like the men gathered in Antioch, we gather today quieting our hearts, listening for the voice of God, because he may have an assignment, a work set before us that we want to hear about. And so my invitation to you in these moments, as we bring padding, the keyboard's going to play and we'll sing over you, is to just constantly pray this prayer. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Speak, Lord. Your sons, your daughters are listening, Father. That we invite him to speak and we lay down our agenda, our direction, our desires, as we experience what it's like for the Lord to make us lie down in green pastures, to lead us beside still waters and refresh our souls. So let me pray as we head into a time of just reflection and quiet. Jesus, we come before you to receive from you this morning what you would give us. Lord, we're here. We're listening. We ask you to speak. Father, your children are here. We want to hear from you. Would you speak to us this morning by your Spirit, through your word, through these songs and anthems we sing? Lord, would we just be a people known for listening and being obedient to what you share with us? In Jesus' name.
Seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you, I just want you.
Sometimes quieting our hearts is one of the hardest things we can do. Especially in this environment, corporately, we're so used to coming in as kind of as spectators, right? Hoping that we like the set list and that the preacher, you know, knows what he's talking about. And that format, there's nothing wrong with that. But today, as we quiet, I just find my own heart like, oh, this is hard. It's hard to get quiet before the Lord. It's hard to be alone in my own thoughts, right? Sometimes it's scary up there when it's just me and my thoughts before Jesus. But it's something that is so needed, so necessary if we're going to do what comes next, which I believe is listening. Listening. You know, in Acts chapter 13 that Kenan just read, the apostles and the leaders of the early church, they gathered together. Paul and Barnabas had just come off a missionary journey from Jerusalem. They're fresh in Antioch, but they set themselves apart for prayer and for fasting, the scripture says, intentionally creating a space where they could listen, intentionally creating a space where God could move, where God could speak. They created a physical hunger that turned into a spiritual hunger where I'm not exactly sure the questions they were asking of the Lord, but they were creating space for God to speak. And in that moment, he spoke to the leaders and he said, set apart for me these two guys because I have a mission. I want to send them on their way. Creating space for listening sometimes has to do with the things that God wants to speak and heal in our own hearts, but sometimes it has to do with the mission that God has, the being sent, coming from a place of prayer, coming from a place of quieting ourselves and asking the right questions. Have you ever been around somebody that just asks great questions? A couple weeks ago, I sat with a pastor friend of mine, and I was just wanting to process some things that were going on in my life, and he's a pastor over in Cape Elizabeth, and we went to Panera right here in South Portland, and we're just sitting there drinking a coffee, and I'm kind of sharing some things, and then he just starts asking questions. So good. Questions not designed to get me to an end, but questions designed to reveal things that were going on in my own heart. And I just thought, man, it's so great when you have the right questions. But the next step is actually listening. Sometimes I'll ask my wife a question, and I'm on my phone, and I'm asking her a question, or I'm on my computer, and I realize about 3/4 of the way through her answer that I haven't been listening to anything that she said. Are you with me? Anybody else do that? In our house, we'll often quote the Lego movie, and I'll say, I think I got it, but just in case, say it all again, I wasn't listening. And she'll roll her eyes at me, but man, how often do we do the same thing with the Lord? Lord, speak, and then boom, we're off. We're doing our own thing, and man, today's about asking questions. And so we're going to throw some questions up on the screen that I want us to be, in a moment, I'm going to give us time in another song of worship to really ask through. The questions are, Lord, what do you want to say? Who do you want me to see? What do you want me to see? What would you have of me? And here's the deal. When it comes to asking questions of the Lord, we have to be willing to release control of the answers that we want. We have to truly be curious, truly be intent on saying, Lord, my palms are up. I have no destination that I want to lead you in. I just want you to speak. I want you to speak into my heart, to speak into my life. We come with questions with this presupposition that God wants to and that he can speak to us. And I think sometimes some of us grew up in systems of religious systems where we were taught, man, the only way God speaks is through the Bible. That is a powerful way that God speaks. But we know he speaks through people, all through scripture, teachers, prophets. And he speaks through his voice. Hebrews chapter 3, the author of Hebrews is quoting Psalm 95 when he says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as they did in the rebellion. He's pointing back to a time when God was speaking and Israel was not listening. I believe God wants to speak to us today, but we have to be willing to listen. There was two years ago this summer, my wife and I were going into a sabbatical season, 6 weeks where we didn't have to work. And at that point I had been in full-time ministry for about 15 years. And we were really looking forward to it. We had come out of a very busy season. We had helped plant a church. We had navigated that very young church through COVID. Our church was growing. Our staff was growing. I helped with a building project. We got into a building right before I was about to step off for 6 weeks. And I was ready. I was ready for some time. And I didn't have a specific question for God about, like, Lord, what do you want me to do? Or it was more just, God, I need you to just speak to my heart. Lord, what would you say to me that would reignite my passion for you? What would you speak that would give me rest? And so in my times with the Lord, I was just intentional to spend some extra time and pray and listen. And I can tell you, for the first 3 or 4 weeks, it was unspectacular. I read a lot of books. I read the Bible. I prayed. I didn't feel anything particular that God was saying, but I can take you to the moment. I can remember that moment. I was standing. Actually, I was in the shower. Does anybody hear the Lord well in the shower for some reason? You know, I was in Branson, Missouri. We were on vacation with our kids. And I felt the Lord say to me, Matt, I'm going to bring you back to New England. See, we've been living in Texas for like 9 years, and moving back here wasn't on our radar, but Maine was home for us. And the Lord began to speak that into my heart. I thought, Lord, that's fine. That's okay. But you're going to have to convince my wife, because she does not like the snow. You know, I thought that was the bigger miracle for God to be able to speak that to her. So I like cautiously started to bring up, hey, kind of feel like God spoke something to me. And she was like, yeah, no, I think that makes, like, she just was there. And I thought, well, that's really strange. What I didn't know was that God had given her a dream. And I'll tell you about that in just a minute. But we had no idea on the timing, no idea what God would do with that. We just tucked it in our hearts and we continued to pray on it. And I began to write and journal just about what God may want to do with that. When we got back about 2 months after sabbatical, it became clear to us that our season was over. And we stepped off of the staff of the church that we were at in Houston with no idea what God would have next. No idea where we were headed. But it was November and we thought, well, let's go home for Thanksgiving. We hadn't been back since we moved about 10 years before. So we came home and my in-laws had started attending East Point and they drug us to church. And I had never been here before, but I knew Pastor Scott from when I had ministered in Maine prior. And so I'm waiting on everybody to leave after service is over and I run into Scott in the lobby and begins a conversation. And that conversation turned into some interviews and interviews turned into us knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was calling us back to Maine within a couple of months of what he had spoken to us. And after we made the decision to come back, my wife said to me, on sabbatical, I had a dream. And in that dream, we were driving and we were lost, which if you know me is not unusual when I'm driving. Well, I'm almost always lost. She said we were lost and the Lord said to me, look up and follow. I will show you the way. And so in her dream, she looked up and the car in front of us had a Maine license plate. God will speak. My point of telling you this is that I don't know what it is, the questions that are in your heart or what you may ask. And we're going to put these questions back up on the screen because maybe you don't have a question and you simply need to ask, Lord, what would you say to me today? We're going to go back into a song of worship. And as we do, I want you to just prayerfully invite the Holy Spirit and listen with the ears of your heart. You know, hearing God isn't like an audible voice, although, of course, sometimes he does that. But hearing God is often, it sounds a lot like you, except it's just not you. It's not something you would say. You have these deep impressions in your heart of what God is saying, and it takes practice. There's still sometimes I'm like, I don't know if this was bad pizza or if this is the Lord, but I feel like this is what, and so we measure everything against scripture and we measure everything against with those around us that have wisdom and love us and hear from the Lord as well. But in this moment, I just want us to practice. Just lean in and ask some questions and then stop talking and see if the Lord will speak to your hearts right now in this moment. We're going to worship.
in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this to his disciples, those who would choose to follow him. And I believe he says it to us continually for those of us who choose to follow him. He says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And I think for many of us, the challenge is we're doing all of it out of our own motives and desires. We're doing it with a heart that's still desiring the things of the flesh, that's still desiring the things of this world, that are still desiring the things of our own kingdoms that we would build. And Jesus is inviting his disciples to truly seek him. Ask him and knock at the door, knock on the gates of heaven for his kingdom purposes, for the things of his heart, for the righteousness that only comes through Jesus, that as we seek, we're willing to take the answer that he has for us. And there's no pretense. There's no agenda to our prayers. There's no indulgence that comes along. No, it's simply a surrendered heart saying, Lord, I'm asking for more of you. I'm seeking for more of your kingdom. And I'm knocking on that narrow door, that narrow gate that leads to life. Again, our responsibility is a humble heart, surrendered prayers, open hands. Jesus takes care of the rest, doesn't he? And so as we go into a time of kind of corporate prayer, I'm going to invite Kurt up, and he's going to lead us in a direction where we're asking, we're seeking, we're knocking together as a church, appealing for God's kingdom to first be birthed in us so that his kingdom comes around and through us. That we come as a church asking, seeking, knocking for direction, for assignment, for the things that he has for us, but it comes through prayer. And so if you would, just allow Kurt to lead us, and our hearts say yes and amen as we meditate on these words and we seek first his kingdom together.
Let's go to the Father. Father, I just have to ask for your Holy Spirit to just reveal things, and I ask that we would have the receptivity, the sensitivity and the awareness to listen to what you would have to say. Just as in your word, your son went up on a mountain and he gathered a lot of people before him, and he started this sermon, and the sermon, the very front end of it was about who we are to become, and then the majority, the remainder, was about what we're to do and how we're to do it. But I think he started off that way because you knew we need to have that change. Because we know that apart from you, we can't do anything. And right at the end of this first section, what happens when we become what Jesus was teaching, we end up being a shining light like a city on a hill. We end up being flavorful, savory salt to those who are around us. So, Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to help us move into that transformation so that we can be who you created us to be. It's such a blessing. As your son said, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, who recognize that we don't bring anything to the table, that we don't have anything special unto ourselves, that we were born into sin. But when we have that recognition of the poverty that we have in our spirit, You tell us that ours is the kingdom of God. That that's there for us, Father. And we come in that place of brokenness. And that brokenness can bring us a lot of grief. But you bless that. You said, blessed are those who mourn. And that the great blessing that we receive from you because of that brokenness and that grief that we have when we recognize the condition of our spirit is you bring us yourself. You bring us our presence. You bless us with comfort when we're in that place of mourning, Father. That place of preparation where we really begin to change. And we do, because then you say, we're blessed if we're meek, if we come in a place of humility. And we look at each other in that way as well. We're not trying to compete. We're not trying to judge or tear down everybody. But when we come to that place of meekness, you say that the earth is our inheritance. You actually trust us with where we are and how we will go out into this place and be sent and let people know who you are and do it all in love. Father, and it's like a snowball effect. We want more and more of that. We're more and more hungry for you and your righteousness. We need it. We need it. We need it. And what do you give as a reward for that thing that we need? You give us that very thing we're asking for. You say we're going to be filled. We will be satisfied with that righteousness that we've been asking for, that closeness, that right standing with you, that nothing surpasses. We're never going to get full because you'll keep creating the capacity. That we become more and more like you, moving from glory to glory. And why can we even get to that place, Father? It's because you've poured your mercy out on us. But that mercy doesn't just stop in one place. Because you say, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. So we get this constant flow of mercy for you, so that allows us to go out and pour that out on others. It allows your love to be dispensed through us. Thank you for that. Thank you so much. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. And in our reception of your mercy, we recognize how much we needed it. And we don't come to you in any form of hypocrisy. You say there's nothing hidden that won't be disclosed. We want to become more and more like you. We want our sins to be taken away as far as the east is from the west. And you say that that can happen because you sent your son to reconcile us to yourself. And you say, blessed are the pure in heart. And why is that a blessing? Because we can see you. Which is nothing better than that. So thank you for that process that you have us on, Father. A purity, cleaning out our heart. Because one of the ways we get to be like you, to the point where you actually refer to us as your children, are that we get to become peacemakers. And you'll bless us in that. And as peacemakers, we continue that ministry of reconciliation, of grabbing our neighbors by the hand and grabbing your hand and having those hands meet, that they can come to know you and be more and more like you. And then we get to be called your children. What's better than that? Father, as we continue that peacemaking, which you promise that we can do with everything that we're becoming in you. And we just ask for that, even now, that your Holy Spirit would just start showing us different things. You also promise difficulty. You promise that that as we go about peacekeeping for righteousness' sake, that we're going to be persecuted. That the more and more we do that, we hit that ceiling of persecution, and it's going to be difficult at times, but we remember that earlier on, you're there comforting us. You're present with us. And as we endure any persecution, maybe it's fears that we have to overcome. Again, you give us your kingdom. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you for transforming us into your likeness and into your purposes, because then what's going to happen, Father, we're going to walk out sent. We are going to be bearers of fruit. We're going to go to people in recovery, and we're going to say, hey, we've got the answer for you. We're going to go to those in incarceration and say, hey, we've got the freedom for you. We're going to go to those who don't have a place to lay their head. And they're going to be able to find that comfort in you as well. Send us across our kitchen tables. Send us to our classmates and our coworkers. Send us to that person grunting under the weights alongside of us at the gym. Send us to places we wouldn't dare go. But when we do walk in those places, that's where we'll encounter your power to walk in those places. So let us take those first steps. And we're going to trust you to do this with this church body and all in Greater Portland. And one of the most important places we need to go is to one another, our brothers and our sisters, that we encourage one another. First, we encourage one another to get into a close relationship with you. Then we encourage one another. We spur each other on toward love and good deeds. So, Father, I pray for every heart in here that we be in a posture of surrender. And then you just take us for that wild ride you have ready for us. Thank you, Jesus.
Break through, no mountain ground. The God of revival, pour it out, pour it out.
Come awaken your people, come awaken the city.
So we cry out to the God of revival because we've met the God of resurrection. We've met the one who's taken our iniquities, who's taken our transgressions, taken our sin, nailed it to the cross, paid the price, died the death, and raised to life. As we grab our communion cups this morning, we're seeking this morning to hear from the Lord. And earlier, as the sun was rising, I was up and I was just asking, Lord, would you speak to my heart this morning? And he brought to mind the prophet Isaiah, hundreds of years before Jesus, the Messiah, the chosen one, ever walked the face of the earth. He prophesied that this is the one that would finally take away the sin of the world, that would remove the transgressions of us who live in lawlessness, and he would make up the iniquity that you and I could ever make up. You see, sin, in and of itself, sin is lawlessness. It's uncontrolled behavior. It's when our hearts run rampant with our own internal disorder, desire. Sin is the result. Our transgressions are all of those decisions and those decisions we made in sin against the Lord and against other people that stack up like charges in a court of law. And our iniquity is this cursedness that we've been birthed into, where the earth is groaning and there's pain and there's suffering, and by no means of our own could we ever approach God because of our iniquity. And it was Jesus Christ himself, the way, the truth, and the life, that looked at every single one of us and he said, I see your sin. I cure it. I see your transgressions. I forgive them. I see your iniquity. I take your place and you can take mine. You see, it's Jesus, the only one, Jesus Christ, that allows us to even live in relationship with God. Because apart from him, we cannot hear from the Lord. We cannot speak to the Lord because he is holy. He is just. And yet he calls each and every one of us to himself through his son, Jesus. This is why we take communion on Sundays. For those that have come to Jesus, we recognize that the bread, his broken body, is what takes away the curse. Cursed is any man that hangs upon a tree. Jesus takes the curse for you and I. He takes our iniquity and he washes it away. The blood, the cup of the new covenant, he takes our sinful condition. He says, I give you a new covenant, a new law. And it's not a law like we see in Moses. It's a relationship. It's the Holy Spirit living and dwelling within us. It's this new order of our being that comes from the inside out. And our transgressions that have been stacked up the entirety of our lives, it's his blood shed on the cross. Cancels our debt, pays the price, washes us clean as white as snow. And so as we reflect on communion this morning, my prayer is that we realize that the chosen one, the Messiah, the Savior of the world has come for you and me. Each and every one of us, this isn't a corporate invitation, this is an individual invitation. As you hold the bread and the juice, this is the invitation of God Almighty to say, come, come near to me. I want to speak to your hearts. Let me share this gospel with you around the table. So that last night with his disciples, Jesus modeled for us. He took the bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body broken for you. Eat this every time you gather in remembrance of me. We take the bread together. And the cup of the new covenant, new wine, a new law, a new order, the only blood that can forgive us of our sin, the only sacrifice capable of cleansing us before the God that we choose to follow and listen to. Jesus said, this cup is the cup of the new covenant. My blood poured out for the forgiveness of your sin. Take and drink in remembrance of me. We drink the cup. Let me pray for us. Father, may our listening not cease the moment we step out of these doors. May our heart posture, poor in spirit, pure in heart, hunger and thirst for righteousness, these heart postures that Jesus, you teach toward, may they not leave us as we walk out of this building. May our lives be marked with seeking your face, asking for your voice in our lives, knocking on the doors of heaven. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Your servants at East Point are choosing to listen. Father, help us become less so that you can become greater in our lives. Help the old man, the old woman be rid of our lives so that way we can take the new wine, the new covenant within our souls, that the Holy Spirit would birth from within us like a spring of living water. That Jesus, we look at your word as the bread that nourishes our souls. That Lord, we come to you knowing that only you have life. Oh, Father, would you speak to us as a father does his children? Jesus, would you lead us as a shepherd leads his sheep? Holy Spirit, would you empower us as our encourager, our convictor, our leader, the one who goes ahead of us? We welcome you, God, into our lives, and we worship you. Jesus, we want to be a sent people, but we want to be sent to the works that you've prepared in advance for us. Help us get there, Lord. Be humbly obedient to your voice. Thank you for the price you paid, Jesus. We worship you. We honor you. We love you. It's in your mighty name we pray. Hey, as we close the service, We're going to open up the front here, the altar, for anybody that needs a little additional time with the Lord. And we'll invite you to the front and we'll pray with you. Myself, Kurt, Matt, our prayer team, we're here to pray over you, to allow God to do what maybe he needs to do in your heart. If you'd like to join us for prayer gatherings, not as many as we're in here, but a few, Tuesday night, 6 p.m., Thursday morning, 6 a.m., we'd love to have you in any one of our prayer gatherings to continue this pursuit of listening for the Father's voice. And if you want to get connected, the hub's out on the turf, and we'll be out there momentarily. But my ask is, if you're not going to stay here and linger in prayer, please just make your way quietly out those doors and allow this to continue to be a place that we could just encounter the presence of the Lord and allow him to do what he might want to do in our hearts. So go, be sent in Jesus' name, and we look forward to what we hear him doing in the weeks ahead.